the ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We are studying the law of God. In his law, God shows us himself. He shows us what he is like. He shows us the things he loves. He shows us the things that he hates. And if we think of the commands as we study them, they have been teaching us about God. The first commandment tells us that he is the one true living God, that he is the only one worthy to be worshipped and praised and adored and followed as God. The second commandment, he said, that in our worship we do not make our own idols, and that is because he is a God beyond our imagining. He is a God beyond our thoughts. But we must worship him as he has revealed himself in the Bible. Worship him his way alone. The third commandment, not to take his name in vain, is given to us because he has an awesome and holy name. The right ordering of the world depends upon God's name being lifted up and hallowed as the holy name that it is. And then as we go into the fourth commandment, we are reminded that he's the God who made all things. He created the world, everything in it, and he made us. And he has the right to rule over our work and to rule over our rest. And so on and so on. But here is the holy God who will judge us. And this law is the mirror. We look into the purity of God. We see him, but we see also ourselves. We see how we measure up. Every man and woman thinks that they are clean. Everyone will say, I'm good enough. But you come to the mirror of God's perfect shining light, his holiness. And it shows us that we've fallen far short of the glory of God. And it shows us that we need to flee to Jesus Christ. Shows us we need to run to the Saviour before the holy anger of God overtakes us, before God's wrath consumes us. Because if anybody says, I'm a good person, I'm keeping the commands of God, they need to stare into this law. They need to dig down to see what it teaches us, and then to run to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can make us a new person, that he can forgive our sins before it's too late. So as you hear the law of God, ask, have I yet gone to Jesus? Now this command, the ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimony or false witness against your neighbour. It's a command about words. And the Bible teaches us that God made our lips, God made our mouths, God made us to speak. Just as God in the beginning spoke and he said, let there be light. So when he made man his greatest creation, he made him to speak so that we could have fellowship. Fellowship with each other, fellowship with him. That we also could speak and we could act in his world. And because God made our lips, we must use them God's way. We must use them lawfully. We're getting now to the ninth commandment, so we're seeing just how big God's law is. So here's a command about words. When we get to the tenth commandment, we'll see there's a command about thoughts. You shall not covet any thoughts and desires that you have inside of you, as well as many commands we've had about actions, not stealing, not committing adultery, not murdering, and so on. It's a set of commands, the Ten Commands, which deal with work and with rest, the days of labour and the day of the Sabbath. Commands for family, for married people, command about adultery, for children as they come into the world, relating to their parents. The fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother. But also, it tells us about manservants and maidservants, even about animals. About strangers and foreigners who come amongst us. All kinds of people, all kinds of activity. The commandments cover everything. See how big God's law is. God's law is to rule your whole life. Are you always aware of the law of God? Do you live as a person always submitting, bowing to the law of God? Is the law of God just something like you keep it in a box in your room? You bring it out sometimes. Maybe it comes out on Sundays, but you put it back again later and you forget it. When you go to work, there's nothing for the law of God at work. When you're walking along the street, no, nothing for the law of God. No, God's real law covers everything. We are to be a law-keeping people if we are to walk with God. Now, this commandment teaches us that words matter. In one of the Psalms, God says, "Do not I, who made the ear, do I not hear? Do not I, who made the eyes, do I not see?" If God gave you an ear, and you can hear me now, do you think God is not able to hear you now and always? In England, the children sometimes, they have a saying. It's a bit like a proverb. They say, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Have you ever heard that saying? Do you have that here in Kenya? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But every child also knows that that's not true. Sticks and stones can break our bones, that's true. But words cause a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, don't they? And some of the worst problems that I'm sure you've had, you think of the troubles you've had maybe in family or somewhere else, it's been words, and nobody threw a stone. Nobody beat you with a stick, but the pain has gone far deeper. If they'd beaten you with a stick, it would be healed now. But it's remained. That's how important words are. And we know it. Even children know it. Now, this is actually the second command about words. The third command said, "You shall not take God's name in vain." But that was about words concerning God. This part is about words concerning our neighbour. The Bible teaches your words reveal your heart. If you were here during the reading in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus taught that. He said, "What kind of tree are you getting good fruit from? You get good fruit from a good tree. When it's healthy and has good roots going down deep and is strong, no disease. What kind of tree do you get bad fruit, ugly fruit, diseased fruit from? An ugly, bad, diseased tree. You can't have an ugly, bad, diseased tree and then find good, big, juicy fruit. And if the tree is strong and healthy, you'll be expecting the good fruit to come." Jesus was teaching about our hearts. The fruit that comes out of your mouth, out of your lips, shows us the strength or the purity or the holiness, the goodness of what's in your heart, or it shows us the evil and the corruption that's in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, "The words are the overflow of your heart." You know, every day in your head, in your mind, in your heart, inside you, you're thinking many thoughts. You see something, and you consider it. But nobody hears your thoughts except God. And most of your talking is to yourself each day, isn't it? But sometimes we need to speak. And out of your heart, out of your attitudes and thoughts, come your words. Now, how serious are our words? Jesus underlined in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, that, "But I tell you," so the Son of God tells you, "that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." Now, can you remember just your careless words of yesterday? Can you remember your careless words just of last week? And God says, all the careless words of your lifetime, He will demand an explanation on that day. How quickly we say, oh, I didn't mean it. Our words, though, reveal our heart. And that is why God will demand an explanation for them. Verse 37 of Matthew 12, Jesus says, your words will acquit you. They will show your innocence. Or your words will condemn you. They will show your guilt. It's easy to pretend to be a Christian. You say, well, I'm in Kenya and it's a Christian country, people say. Or my parents were Christians, or I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I read my Bible. But Jesus says true Christianity is a matter of the heart, and your heart is shown through your words. So whether you are a gossip, whether you are an angry person, whether you are a hateful, a spiteful person, you're a vicious person, or whether you are a pure person, you are a kind person, you are a generous person, you're a person trying to build others up. God won't say, did you sit in a chair at church? But by looking at your words, the world will see. Your words will show if you had a new heart from Jesus, or if you still had the old heart, if you were still unforgiven, if your Christianity was just pretending. So, you think of your words. What is the Holy Spirit showing you now? Are you really a saved person? Are you really a person with the Holy Spirit living inside you because you're a true Christian or not? So this is a command about words. And second, let's think more closely. It's a command about justice, about truth, and about peace in words. And what's the foundation of this commandment? What's it really about? You know, a command shows you something about the commander. Would you like to have lived under the laws of Idi Amin in Uganda a few years ago? I think not. But why not? Because those laws were harsh and they were hard, and it was painful to live under such laws, because that's the kind of man that Idi Amin was. He was that kind of man. But if the lawgivers are good, they're honest, they're pure, then in the country you'll find freedom, you'll find liberty, and the people will rejoice to live there. What does this law show about God? It shows, first of all, that He's a God of justice. Really, this command is coming from a courtroom. Do not give false testimony or false witness against your neighbour. So there is an accusation against your neighbour. Someone is bringing it. Perhaps you're bringing it. And you're standing as a witness and say, he's guilty. I saw him. But you didn't see him. And perhaps he's not guilty. Perhaps you think he's guilty, or you'd like him to be guilty, but you can't bring a witness against him. It's a false witness. And God hates false witness, because God loves justice. He loves what is right and what is true. We need to know that there is a day of judgment, and God will judge the world through Jesus Christ according to justice. We know that justice is often just cancelled in our world. A bribe is paid to the judge, or the judge is a friend of the accused man, or the accused man is too big and he's too powerful and the judge fears him. Justice is cancelled. But God has a day of perfect justice. He will examine your heart. He will examine your mind. He will examine your words, he will examine your deeds, and he will judge you perfectly according to his holy law, If you have broken any one of those laws, you will be a lawbreaker and come under God's eternal judgment. Think of the anger there must be against this land from God because of the injustice which we have here. The good news from Jesus is that justice is satisfied by his death on the cross for those who believe. Those who have repented and come to Jesus, he's already paid the price. God's anger is already poured out upon him. God can welcome you into heaven because the punishment has fallen on Jesus already. God will be just to welcome you into heaven if you repent and become a disciple of Jesus. This commandment shows us God is a God of truth. It's in the courtroom, he wants there to be truth. And if we go outside the courtroom, because all these commands are meant to go over the whole of life, he wants our words to be true. God never gives false witness. He never needs to give false witness. Why does a person normally lie? Now you think of the situations you've told lies. Why did you lie? Normally it's to cover up some other sin. First there's a sin you commit, and then you try to cover it up by lying about it. So your friend says, where is the money? And actually you spent his money. So you say, I left it in the house. And that's a lie, but you're covering it up. Remember how Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they looked to cover up. Adam pointed to Eve. Eve pointed to the snake. And they tried to put clothes on themselves to cover up. They didn't want to be seen as they truly were anymore. But God has nothing to hide. He speaks the truth. He does the truth. He acts in purity always. So he has nothing to hide. But that's not true with us, isn't it? Is it? There's many things we want to hide from other people. Many things we are ashamed of. And often we find we're speaking twisted words. But God is a God of truth, and his judgment will be a judgment of truth. The good news is the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus can help us to speak the truth, to say, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've fallen far short. Yes, I'm far from what I should be. But now I've repented and trusted in Jesus, and he's saved me. And now I can start a new life and live a new way through him. This command shows us that God is a God of justice and truth, but also of peace. He doesn't want false accusations between a man and his neighbor. We go outside the courtroom. He doesn't want us to be gossiping, to be spreading tales. Say, oh, do you know what my neighbour did? Do you know what the person in the next compound is doing? God does not want strife. He wants peace. He wants us to live in peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. Jesus himself is the Son of God, and he is the great peacemaker. There is anger from God towards us for our sin. There is hatred from us towards God because we keep breaking his law. And that's because of our corrupt hearts full of hatred. But Jesus, by his death on the cross, made peace. He took the anger of God upon him. And he stands ready to give us a new heart. He rose from the dead. And he gives us a new life. So that we can put the old life in the grave and leave it there. And that we can live at peace with God. Through him. Through him alone. So we're seeing God in this command. His justice, his truth, his peace. How do you measure up? Surely it's true you need Jesus. You need to come to him and to be forgiven. Maybe for the first time, or if you've already done that, then to renew it each day as a Christian. Now finally, let's look at the command even more closely. It's a command about love to our neighbor. It's a command that we do no harm to our neighbor. That there's no false accusations, and going more widely, no bad words. No speaking bad words, no listening to bad words, no allowing bad words. God has put us all together to live in, as a community, and no man can just send away his neighbour. This is a command about keeping neighbours together. So don't spread any untruth. You hear a story about someone, and it's a bad story. Don't believe it unless you have the strongest reasons. And don't spread it unless it is completely necessary for good to spread it. His command is against lying. It is against slander. Don't support any untruth. Don't listen to the gossip. Ladies, when you're meeting with the other ladies, it happens with men too, but as the talk just goes on and on about this person, this person, this person, don't support it. Don't allow it. Change the conversation. Even go aside with the gossip to rebuke them and say, we don't want to hear these things. We want to live together as a community. We're all neighbours. Why should we tear each other down? It's a sin to see and hear wickedness and do nothing against it. The Bible says that love covers up a great number of sins. The Bible says hatred soon reveals itself, but love covers up a great number of sins. So be slow to receive any evil news about anyone, but be quick to receive a good report about them. Be quick to speak good about someone. When their name is being brought down, find something good about them to say, to lift it up. Don't be slow in your heart to rejoice when your neighbour does well. Don't envy your neighbour. Don't hate your neighbour in his heart. God has made us all in his image in this world. We should not rejoice in anybody doing badly. But when your neighbour does well, rejoice with him. And when he does badly, mourn with him. Because God has put us together as neighbours. This command tells us to speak the truth. To speak the truth. And lying is surely one of the great sins of our country. A person gives you a promise and they don't keep it. And we're so used to it. It's just part of life, isn't it? Lying tears down and destroys. Tears down and destroys community and family. People then find it necessary to make oaths and to promise in the name of God or of heaven. They did that in the days of Jesus. Jesus said, don't make a promise in the name of heaven. Don't make a promise in the name of Jerusalem or the temple. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. If you go further than that, it's coming from the evil one. Speak pure truth. People find it very hard to say a thing if the hearer does not want to hear it. If the hearer, he wants to hear you say, ah, the job will be finished at 12 o'clock, or I'll come tomorrow, or I'll pay you next week. And we find that's what people say, because it's what he wants to hear. But it's not true. Say the truth, even if it's difficult. That is actually a far greater act of love than to say what he wishes you to say, to speak the truth. He will thank you for it later. He may be sorry now if you haven't got the money to repay. He may be sorry now if you can't come tomorrow. But he'll thank you for your honesty later. So, we've studied the command. God loves truth, justice, peace and love. for us all to live together as neighbours. That's the mirror of God's law. He's shown you what he's like and what he demands of you. But he's shown you what you haven't got, hasn't he? But he's showing you what he can give you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can stand before God and God can accept you, because God will look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll see the truth and justice and the love and peace of Jesus Christ. He will take it as yours if you come to Christ. Come to Christ alone. Don't come in your own filthy rags. No, hand those over to Christ and believe that he died on the cross for those sins. Receive from him a new and pure set of clothes. Receive from him a new heart. Receive from him a new heart of truth, justice, love, and peace. And receive it today. Why will you wait? Why will you go on in your own way? Receive it from him today. Even now in your chair, let your heart go out to Christ and take him as your Saviour.